Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, our friends at Tegna and our partners at the Odyssey Group. Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you your favorite shows every single day so you can be kept up to date whenever some new information about your favorite teams begins to drop. The Locked On Podcast Network is very easy to follow. Just like and subscribe to whichever show you want. You'll be kept up to date whenever your favorite show drops, so you don't have to go hunting down an episode. They're right there for you. The Locked On Podcast Network, covering all sports, covering all teams, your team, every single day. All right, so today's episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. Your car does a lot for you. You should return the favor. And what better way than to get parts for your car whenever it needs them, and to do it without having to pay that markup at the auto parts store if they even have the part, which, let's be honest, they probably won't have it, so you'll end up going to rockauto.com anyway. Cut out the middleman. Just stay at home. You don't even have to put on your pants. Go to rockauto.com. Search across all the makes and models. I can pretty much guarantee you'll find whatever part you need for your car. Plus, you'll find basically whatever model of car you have. Maybe not if you have the super luxury special editions, but for the normal people, the normies, as we like to call ourselves, you will find whatever you could possibly need for your vehicle. Take care of your car the way your car takes care of you. Go to rockauto.com, and when you go, make sure in the box at the bottom where it asks, where did you hear about us? Make sure you put in Locked On. That is rockauto.com. And in that little drop-down box, let them know Locked On sent you. All right, so we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. This weekend, I think this past weekend might be an area that we look back later on this year and say that this was a turning point for the Atlanta Braves. It did not start out well. The series against Philadelphia on Friday night, things went very, very bad very, very quickly. The Braves got stomped out 12-2. Charlie Morton got pulled in the first inning. It was bad times all the way around. And yes, there was some bad umpiring, but more than anything, it was just bad playing in general. Luckily, the Braves do win the series. They take 2 out of 3 of the series, which means it's 2 straight series wins. And now, as we are heading into today's game against Toronto to continue the revenge tour, the Atlanta Braves look to be much better. We're back to 500 now, which means now we can really start our march towards the top of the division. But I do want to kind of take a look at some of those performances and talk about Saturday in particular. So Saturday was a game that it looked kind of early on, as the Braves were down 3-0 up until the sixth inning. It looked like that was going to be another game that the Braves dropped. They just could not bring runners in from scoring position, didn't get a lot of offense, period, really. I mean, they got 9 hits in total, went 12 innings, but there was not a ton to see. And really, A-Ray Adrianza, who's been one of the stars of the team, accounted for a third of the hits on his own. but the Braves were able to tie it up in the bottom of the ninth thanks to A-Ray Adrianza drawing a walk, or hitting a single, I'm sorry. And then Pablo Sandoval, with 2 strikes, blasting a 2-run homer to tie it and send it into extras. And the Braves were able to eke out a victory in a game that I thought for sure they were going to lose. And it looked like in that type of game, if the Braves had lost that game, it would have been one of those games that I thought that maybe might have been kind of the end of the season type, or the end of the run for the Braves. But the Braves were able to power through it. And they went 8-7. They scored 3 different times in extra innings, which is something they had not done. They managed to finally get their first base hit in extra innings, as Ian Anderson kind of had a pretty decent start. Not great by his standards. 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 3 walks, and 7 Ks with a homer. But certainly not a bad start at all. Jacob Webb had some issues a little bit, but A.J. Minter allowed a run as well with that goofy second inning rule. But overall, the Braves handled it pretty well. They were able to get on the right track. And then that led us into Sunday, where the Braves took the momentum that they had from Saturday and said, hey, Waskar, go win us something. And right now, anytime you give Waskar and Noah the ball, you feel fantastic about the chances. The Braves win that game 6-1. And Freddie Freeman kind of woke up a little bit, has 2 straight games with a homer now. Dansby Swanson looks like he's heating up a bit. Slash line is up over 100, or up over 200 now at least. Last about 2 weeks, he's been performing very well. William Contreras Having a little bit of struggles. Christian Pache having a little bit of struggles. But overall, the offense is starting to look much more like we expected. Still need to get Marcelo Ozuna going because he's still struggling something awful. But Ozzie seems to have really taken a hit in cleanup. And the Braves as a whole look to be a much stronger team. And that's going to be very important. I think Saturday's game, it's still very early. I mean, we're just into May, really. But I think that Saturday's game, coming back and tying it in the bottom of the ninth, going into extras, losing the lead, gaining it back, losing the lead again, gaining it back, and winning that game, I think that was the most important game of the season. That was a game that everything was kind of going against the Braves. We've seen that story all year long where you get to extras and all of a sudden you lose and you got that goofy rule and the bullpen kind of gives it up. But you didn't see that happen on Saturday. The team stuck with it. The team was able to continue playing the way that we wanted them to play. And they were able to get valuable contributions from Adrian Aldrianza and Pablo Sandoval, who have been just phenomenal. We'll talk about them a little bit later in the show. But the Braves are able to power out a win in a game that really they had no business winning. So it was very, very nice to see. And I think that's one of those games, if the Braves do end up going on a run like I think they are, that's going to be a game that we go back there and point to and say, this was the moment where the season turned around. That to me, that's one of those key games. And if you're a top-notch team, you will have one of those games. The Dodgers will have one of those games at some point as they seem to be lost, embroiled in a big losing stretch as well. All great teams have one of those games that you point to and say, this is where the season solidified, or this is where the season turned around, or this is where things got real. And I think for the Braves, Saturday was that game. As far as Sunday goes, man, Waskar can just do everything. There's a lot of questions about how long is he going to continue doing this. Is this something that he's going to be able to do all year long? As far as the talent, I do. I think that he can, because the number one thing with him is he's not walking people. Waskar has always had elite stuff. It's just been the walk rates, and that's driven his pitch counts up, and it's kept people on the bases, and then whenever he does give up a hit, it inevitably would score somebody. The issue with Waskar is going to be the innings pitched, because he does not have a ton of innings. Now, he's gone over 100 innings combined before. Usually, I think the top he's gone is about 115-ish, 116 in 2018, probably right around there in 2019. But you're talking about, if he's going to start all year, you're talking about 160 to 200 type of innings. It remains to be seen how the Braves will work him. I do think at some point you may end up having to see them give him a dedicated day off. But for now, he's been the best pitcher on the staff by a country mile. Now, the max looks like a little bit closer to the max Fried that we were expecting coming into the season. This Waskar Noah right now, though, he is giving up hard contact, which is something that people are going to point to and say, oh man, regression is coming. The difference is his whiff rates and his walk rates keep that in check. It's no different than Tyler Glasnow in 2018. That's actually, if you look at his Statcast page, it's pretty close to identical. I'm a big fan of Waskar. We've seen him kind of use, he has some other pitches. I would still want to see him use the changeup a little bit more, even if he's not using it to actually throw it competitively. I just want to see him throw it enough to where hitters have to at least consider that it might be coming. But overall, Waskar has been by far the story of the year. Hopefully we can say that the pitching staff now is going to start throwing the way that we thought that they should be. The Braves also re-signed Shane Green to revamp that bullpen. Nate Jones is gone forever, and so is Carl Edwards Jr. As the Braves look to say sayonara to what was the worst bullpen in Major League Baseball and try to turn over a new leaf in the month of May. So we're going to go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we're going to discuss the offense a little bit. We're going to discuss Freddie Freeman a little bit. And we're just going to dig into this team as a whole as we look forward to the Blue Jays Revenge Tour coming up later on tonight. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this right here on Locked On Braves. Hey, everybody. It's Dylan from Locked On Braves here to tell you about my friends at Sports Trade. You guys heard me talk about them last week. Sports Trade is where fantasy sports meets the stock market. Basically, Robin Hood for fantasy sports. The platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. A fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports, finally. And they just added baseball to the platform, so go check it out today. Making money with Sports Trade is as simple as player values. Players rise and fall based on two factors, how good they're performing each game, as compared to their projected fantasy points. So if you had Waskar Noah early, you're paying pretty big dividends. The more points scored, the higher the value goes. And the second part would be supply and demand. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie, or Go ahead and grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and your portfolio rise. Simply go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. That's go to sportstrade.com, spelled like it sounds, today. Watch the How It Works video and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. Today's episode is also brought to you by Credit Karma. Whenever you need to check your credit rates, Credit Karma is always where you should go. They've always been there to help you make better financial decisions. Now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Who doesn't want instant gratification? I know I do. If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait with Credit Karma Money. You can win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you use Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your instant karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Credit Karma Money has already given away over $3 million in instant karma cash to over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. Credit Karma Money, progress starts here. Let's go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma cash. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free. Again, that's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking service provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. All right, everybody, welcome back to today's episode. So I want to talk a little bit about this offense and where they seem to be at right now. Right now, we're starting to see the Braves do last two games. So I don't want to freak out too much because obviously two games, things could be a little bit better. This might also not be super sustainable. Not really sure. We'll see. But it's nice to see Freddie get homers in back-to-back games, including one on Mother's Day. He always seems to dominate on Mother's Day. Overall, it's really Ozuna now is like the kind of last big guy that we really need to get going. And he's been very, very slow. I think he'll pick it up pretty soon though. Dansby's been going well for about 2 weeks. We'll see if he can continue it for another 2 weeks before he hits his inevitable dry spell. Christian Pache, and you guys know I'm the card carrying leader of the Christian Pache fan club. It is time for him to go ahead and get sent down. He has a lot of work that he needs to do with pitch recognition. I don't question the bat speed. The bat speed is fine, but he's getting started late because he can't recognize pitches. He's good at noticing zone. Like, he's good at noticing the strike zone. He has a good feel for the strike zone. He just cannot tell fastballs from breaking pitches right now, and it's making him late on every fastball. I mean, we saw it on Saturday night. There were three fastballs down the middle, and he fouled all three of them off back, which means he was just a tick late on it because he just didn't recognize. And those were all three meatballs that should have been crush jobs. The defense for Pache, I don't really care that it only says one DRS right now. Pache is an elite defender. And the more time he spends out there, the more you'll see he's an elite defender. But offensively, he still needs work. And I don't think pitch recognition is not really one of those things that I think that you can just say, stick him in the fire. It can work out that way, especially if you're a bad team. Like if the Braves were the Orioles, then I'd say, all right, whatever, screw it. Just let him keep playing and we'll suffer through it. But the Braves aren't in that position. They're going to get Guillermo Heredia back soon. Ender Inciarte has been performing well at AAA. I'm not really excited about Ender Inciarte, obviously, but right now, getting any offense in there is going to be fine. Heredia and Ender aren't great defensively. Heredia is probably a little bit better than Ender at this point, but they're good enough. And when you add that bat back in the lineup, I think that's where the Braves kind of need to go. Austin Riley has been a very good defender at third base as long as he doesn't have 20 minutes to think about the throw. But he's been performing very well offensively. He's been in a little bit of a rut here lately, but he's still taking his walks. He's still showing a very, very patient eye right now, and I do think his changes are built over the long haul. Ozzie's been swinging much better since he moved to cleanup. So I do think that this offense right now, I think this offense is trending in the right direction. I think this offense is about to discover themselves. And it's going to key on Freddie, because Freddie's underlying numbers have been really, really good. This, just the support, the actual surface numbers haven't correlated with that. And I will say this. A lot of what Freddie's been doing underlying-wise, his really high EVs and all that good stuff, you can get fooled a little bit on that if you just see those and think, oh, well, he's just been unlucky. It hasn't just been bad luck. It's also been Freddie rolling over everything and hitting the ball hard, but hitting it on the ground. And that's a big part of it, too. He's been grounding into the shift a lot, which is something you won't hear Chip Carey talk about until you see Freddie hit one oppo and go, shift that, as if he didn't hit 50 in a row right into the shift or whatever. But for Freddie, that's kind of been the case in point of this season, is he's just been unable to really lock in like he did in 2020. Now, I do think that it'll happen. Obviously, I don't know that he'd carry a 1,300 OPS over the course of a whole season. But I do think that eventually he'll get his timing back to where he's going to that left-center gap, where he's spraying left-center to center to right-center, and he starts banging the chop house a little bit. I think we're going to start to see it. Hopefully, we start seeing it in this homestand. Two games in a row with a homer, like I said, that's a good sign for Freddie. And one of those homers was to left center field, which is always a fantastic sign for Freddie. When you see him hitting with power into that left center field gap, then it generally means that he's starting to see the ball really well and his timing is starting to work. He's a lot more fluid. So if he can start to get going, and Acuna can continue his kind of realm, but really get back to what he was doing before the abdominal injury, then the Braves are going to be really in business, especially along with what Austin has been doing and what Ozzie has started to do in the cleanup spot. We're going to get Travis d'Arnaud back eventually. I don't know how much longer, but I've really enjoyed William Contreras. Offensively, he's looked completely ready. He hasn't looked like he's really missed a beat at all. Now I expect pitchers to kind of figure it out at some point. He'll have to make an adjustment here soon, but to this point, he's put great ABs together. He's swung a really good bat. His defense has been kind of an enigma. At sometimes it looks fantastic. At sometimes his framing looks to be the best of all the big league catchers. And then there's times where he absolutely loses strikes for pitchers because he's not. It's like he forgets that he's not Kurt Suzuki, and he starts missing balls that he should be catching. He doesn't frame very well. Overall, I think that he's very fine. Overall, I think that he's going to be. Personally, I think he's your starting catcher next year. But I think he's a very good guy right now. You know, he's come down a little bit off that super hot streak. He's right around 230 at the moment. But he's putting good swings and he's putting good ABs, which is really what matters to me. That to me is the most important part. Everything else will kind of figure itself out. And it's hard to remember. This guy only has about 10 games of ball above double A, I believe. He does not have 10 games at the big league level, roughly. Coming into this, he doesn't have a lot of experience, but he's acquitted himself very well. He comes through in big moments, so kudos to William Contreras. I want Pache to get to that level, and I don't want people to think that I'm down on Pache. I still think Pache is without question the best prospect in this system. I think Pache is a superstar in the making. I think he will be a superstar. I just think that the pitch recognition needs some work right now, and it wouldn't be a shock to see him get sent down, especially since the Braves have some other people in the minors who are absolutely ripping the cover off the ball. Orlando Arcia, one of those, who has 5 homers already. Johan Camargo, who's OPSing over 1,300, he gets called back up. You got Shane Green, who's going to get some work down there if the Braves sign him for $1.5 million. Bryce Wilson, by the way, coming up starting today's game because they didn't want Drew Smyly starting against the righty power of the Blue Jays. So there's a lot of players in the minors. Shea Lang Eliers has popped off with a few really big home runs. Rodery Munoz, if you didn't know that name before, write that name down now. He's a guy that has all of the prospect guys really, really excited. Guy in Augusta right now throwing 98 to 100 with movement along with a really good slider. Kind of reminds me of Vasil De La Cruz, who unfortunately didn't get into the games. He goes back down. He'll be back up at some point, though. Like I mentioned, Nate Jones and Carl Edwards Jr. no longer with the team as the Braves decided to go ahead and end that experiment as they search for more right-handed relievers who can actually throw strikes. And I think this team is finally starting to come together. Chris Martin is back. This team is going to get much better, much quicker. Once we can get the pitching straightened out, it doesn't have to be... Like, I'm not sitting here saying that your pitching has to go and throw a 2 ERA for the starters in the bullpen. Even if they're just fairly average, then that's going to be a huge bump from what this is. And I think they're much more talented than being just average. I think that this is a very talented group. It just hasn't performed that way up to this point. With relievers, relievers are always very finicky. They're very fickle. They're very hit or miss from year to year, and there's really not much of an explanation. Relievers are their own different bag. But for starters, this starting rotation is far too talented to continue to struggle the way they have. And now that we've got Max back, now that Wasker's doing his thing, Ian Anderson has been mostly really good, especially his last four or five starts. He had that one clunker in the middle of it, but aside from that, his last three have been very, very good. We'll see what Drew Smyly can do and see what see when Charlie Morton can kind of show us all that he's Charlie Morton. Right now, that's my one thing right there. I'm just waiting for Charlie to show that he is Charlie Morton. But for the Braves, it's a very, very good time for them to do this, as a lot of other teams in the National League East have failed to take the ability to grab this division and run with it. They've been failing at the Phillies especially, but the Braves are in position to make their move. We might be at this same portion next week talking about a first-place Braves team, which would be very, very nice. Overall, baseball is in some weird company right now. I actually think that baseball may have inadvertently found the perfect baseball. What do I mean? Don't worry about that. We're going to talk about it when we come back right after this, right here on Locked On Braves. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is brought to you by BetOnline. If you like to place online wagers, there's no better place to do so than BetOnline. BetOnline is the only place I like to go. The user interface looks really, really cool. It's the fastest, easiest way to bet on all sports action. Baseball, football, Kentucky Derby, boxing, basically any sport you can think of. It's all on there. You can get all the latest news, odds, and info on all of your sporting needs, including baseball, basketball, hockey, and all your mixed martial arts action. For the next pitch, head on over to betonline.ag on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Just go to betonline.ag or use your phone to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, promo code Locked On today. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is also brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bars are great tasting, fantastic protein bars. You guys know I talk about them all the time. Well, I talk about them all the time because they're always fantastic. You don't have to believe me. You can go try them out yourself. They've got a million different flavors. I say a million tongue-in-cheek, but it's something like 30-something flavors. It's absolutely incredible. They're really, really good. They'll have limited-time flavors at some points, but coconut, coconut almond, cherry, peanut butter brownie, salted caramel, birthday cake, churro. The list goes on and on and on. Not only are they amazing flavors and great tasting, they're also healthy. Most of them about 17 grams of protein, only about 4 grams of sugar, so that's less than 150 calories per bar. Only about 4 grams of net carbs. These are fantastic for you. You can order today, and you don't have to just get one flavor. You can make whatever you want in your box. All you got to do is go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You're going to get 15% off of your entire order. Go to BuiltBar.com, try them out for yourselves. You'll see I ain't lying. I ain't just pushing these because they pay me to. These are fantastic protein bars. Once you bite into it, the texture of it is going to throw you for a loop, I promise you. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your first order. Discover the revolution. BuiltBar.com today. All right, everybody, welcome back to the final episode of the final segment of today's episode of Locked On Braves. So we're going to talk about Bryce Wilson in the Toronto Blue Jays preview for today, because there are some key things I'm looking for from Bryce today for him to actually, you know, improve upon his awful 6.75 ERA and almost 2.0 whip. But before we do, I want to talk about this baseball for a little bit. So you guys may have noticed there have been a rash of no-hitters in Major League Baseball this year from pitchers that, quite frankly, you don't really expect them to be from. And then there's a lot of pitchers who have been very, very close to no-hitters as well. Guys like Sean Manaea, who really should not ever flirt with a no-no. But Wade Miley getting a no-hitter, throwing one pitch above 89 miles an hour, is absolutely incredible. And there's a lot of people saying that it's just it shows how hitters are going after just trying to lift the ball and hit home runs. And that's true to a point, but I mean, there's a reason for that point too. This is one of the big faults. This is one of the big gaps between newer fans or analytics fans and your more traditional older fans, the ones that keep baseball's average age right around 57 as by far the oldest of any sport, is this idea that it's not real baseball if you're not stringing six hits together. Well, you're not going to do that anymore. I know there's a lot of people that really enjoy that style of ball, and I'm really sorry that I have to tell you this, but that style of baseball is gone. It is too hard to do that now. Pitchers are too talented. And instead of coming up with things like, oh, well, let's move the mound back, let's try to make it harder for pitchers to throw well, you're just, at some point, you have to embrace that this is just what baseball is now. Hitters have realized just how good pitchers are, just how hard pitchers are throwing. And they've had to adapt accordingly. It's no longer about just getting 12 hits and trying to score four runs off of 12 hits. Now it's make your hits have to count. You have to have quality hits. You're not going to string, it's very rare to string four or five hits together in the same innings anymore. Sometimes it happens. I mean, sometimes you get a team that can just, like the Marlins were able to do last year, where they were able to string a bunch of hits together. Some teams are very good at doing that, but it's not something that's very common in the league anymore, and it's not something that you can bank on happening with the power arms that you're seeing day in and day out. So, it also has to do with the pitch locations. It's very hard when you're facing guys throwing, you know, 95 plus, everybody's throwing 95 or better, throwing it up in the zone, it's hard to get on top of that. So obviously, you're going to get a lot more pop-ups when you're searching for home runs. We found that the sweet spot tends to be lower in the zone, so now pitchers are realizing they can't just throw low and away in that lower third quadrant of the strike zone all the time. There's some hitters, a lot of hitters now, that know how to bash that pitch and to lift it. And once that happens, now it's no longer a ground ball sweet spot. Now it's a home run haven for hitters. So it's a very difficult day and age. And there's some people that are always going to complain about anything that's different in baseball. But I'm not talking to those people. Those people can't be pleased, and I don't really care. The John Smoltzes of the world, I don't care whether they like baseball or not. Because frankly, John Smoltz doesn't like... The only thing that John Smoltz likes about baseball is the runner on second base in extra innings. If you don't believe me, you could have listened to him on Saturday. It was the most brutal, most excruciating baseball podcast I have ever had to listen to. And honestly, it makes me ashamed that John Smoltz was a Brave. Like, it is one of my biggest baseball disappointments ever in my life. One of my biggest sports disappointments. And I'm an Atlanta fan, by the way. So I've been there. I'm an Atlanta and a Bulldog fan. So I've been there for the Braves letdowns. I've been there for the Falcons letdowns. I've been there for the Bulldogs letdowns. I've been there for the Hawks letdowns. John Smoltz, the way he has turned from player to broadcaster, it is one of the saddest things I've ever seen. From a guy that when he was playing was one of the best pitchers ever, certainly one of the best pitchers in the history of the franchise, certainly right up there with Maddox. Smoltz was better than Glavin, by the way. The only Braves pitcher in the history of the Braves, you could say Greg Maddox, you could say Warren Spahn, and those would probably be the two. If there's any others, I'm sorry if I've left them off, but those are the two, along with John Smoltz. To hear him as a broadcaster do nothing but talk about how much he hates every aspect of baseball. Hates the way hitters hit, hates the way pitchers throw, hates the fact that people don't run, hates the way people field, hates the way the catchers set up on one knee to frame. He hates literally everything except for the worst rule in the sport of the second base runner in extra innings. He is without a doubt the worst broadcaster in baseball. And I'm saying this in a sport that has had Buck Showalter announce, in a sport that has had Jim Cott announce. I give them a pass. They're ancient. I give them a pass. Jim Cott is a million years old. I'll give him a free pass on this. Smoltz is not. Smoltz is just a guy who refuses to admit that players today can be better than players were in his day. Because Smoltz is a guy that thinks that he's the greatest thing that's ever happened. So if players aren't doing exactly what he did, well, then they're not trying to be the best. And that's the way that John Smoltz is. If it's different than how Smoltz learned it, then it's wrong. And that's wrong for baseball. Baseball is the worst sport in existence for this. This is why you get things like the StatCast broadcast on Sunday night. And it's such a refreshing breath of fresh air to hear guys, regardless of if you like deeper stats, I do. But they don't even go super deep on the stats on the StatCast broadcast. Mike Petriello, Jason Benetti, and Eduardo Perez, they do a fantastic job of, at the very least, you can tell they like baseball. And it makes it a much more fun broadcast to listen to. It's a much more fun game to watch when you can tell the people commenting on it actually like baseball. It's not like listening to Chip for 5 or 6 innings trying to tell you about why he's so upset that teams don't hit and run anymore, or how teams are just awful because they don't bunt, or how pitchers aren't as good as they were back in the day, despite the fact that we have plenty of evidence to the contrary, and despite the fact that you could take Jacob deGrom and you put him in any era of baseball and no hitters ever sniffing him, period. You could take a journeyman pitcher. You know what? You could take Bryce Wilson and you could drop him into the 80s. You could drop him into the 70s. You could drop him into the 60s. And he's going to be one of the best pitchers in baseball. It's just how it is. Players get better the more the game goes. And if these old people can't accept that, they don't need to be announcing. That's what baseball needs to get through its thick head. People don't care about moving the mound back a foot. They don't care about what you're doing with the baseball. They don't care about making bigger bases. They don't care about runners on second and extra innings. They care about having a product that people sound like they enjoy listening to. No young person or nobody who's trying to get into baseball wants to hear announcers talk about how horrible baseball is for 9 innings. That is an awful way, and in addition to blackouts, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. But the announcers are the more immediate problem. Get announcers that like the game. If they don't like the game, fire them. I don't care if they were really good players. Good players don't make great announcers. Jason Witten was a terrible announcer. Tony Romo is great. You can't really just say because Jason Witten is a Hall of Fame player that he's a Hall of Fame broadcaster. It's not the way it goes. And for Major League Baseball, to me, that is the number one thing. Get Smoltz out of the booth at the very least. I don't want to hear Smoltz do another Braves game because I don't want to hear Smoltz do another baseball game, period. It's absolutely atrocious. It is impossible to listen to. Give me the StatCast broadcast. If you're trying to teach broadcasting or you're ever thinking about going into it, watch the StatCast broadcasts. If you want to be a play-by-play guy, listen to Jason Benetti. Listen to Boog Shambi. These two are phenomenal. If you want to be, you know, Mike Petriello is a super smart analytics-based guy. Eduardo Perez is not. But that crew works together so well because they all like the game. That's the common point, is they all love baseball, so they're all willing to talk about it. They'll kind of dumb down the stats a little bit just to make it easier for everybody to understand. I dragged longer and I didn't really want to talk about this segment, but it's just one of those things that makes me very, very, very passionate. Give me people that like baseball. I'm tired of listening to people that hate it. John Smoltz, go ahead and get bent. But that's got to be it for today. I've got some real work I got to do. Sorry about that last segment of hijacking my own segment, guys. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. We'll be back again tomorrow right here on Locked on Braves.